I want to welcome all of you again as we are continuing in our sermon series called Finding Faith on Film. I do these movie-based series about once a year, and I do them for a variety of reasons. One is that I believe God still speaks to us today, and in movies we can find some contemporary illustrations and examples of the timeless truths that we find in Scripture. So I think it's a good way to help us be reminded of what God says to us in Scripture. I also do it because I think it's a good way to invite family and friends to come to worship with us. It's kind of a fun and easy invitation if you know somebody likes a movie that we might be looking at to say, well, why don't you come to church with us and we'll be looking at that movie together. And then I do it because it's fun and it gives me an opportunity to watch movies with my family, which I might not otherwise do. So it's all a fun thing. Today we're going to be looking at the movie Wonder Woman, and we are going to be looking at how some of the storyline and some of the scenes in this movie illustrate the love that gives us what we don't deserve. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. There are certain movie lines that have a way of making their way into our minds and into our culture, and they just become iconic in some ways. And they carry on a life of their own that extends beyond the life of the film itself. So depending on your age and the movies you've seen, you may recognize a few of these lines, like, here's looking at you, kid, from Casablanca, exactly. Or how about, I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too. The Wizard of Oz, exactly. Or, there's no crying in baseball. A League of Their Own, absolutely. Or, Mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. Forrest Gump, exactly. There's a line in the movie Wonder Woman that I hope will become one of those iconic lines that will continue to live on long after the popularity of the film itself has died down. And we'll get to that in a minute. But a little background is helpful first. So the film Wonder Woman begins with a young woman named Diana. Diana is the daughter of the Greek god Zeus and the Amazon queen Hippolyta. And she lives with a group of warrior women on a paradise island that is set in this just phenomenally beautiful setting. And the role of the Amazon women is to protect humanity. And as Diana is growing up, her one desire is to become a great warrior and a great protector, just as her mother is. And so she trains incredibly hard, and her training is in some ways more rigorous than anybody else's on the island. Of course, the fact that her father is a god certainly enhances some of her abilities, and so she's a very powerful young woman. The island on which she and the other Amazon women live is a very isolated island, and so they are unaware that as they are living in this setting, the world around them is engaged in World War I, the war to end all wars. They are unaware of that until an American pilot by the name of Steve Trevor crashes just off the coast of the island. Diana saves his life, brings him ashore, and from him, the women learn about the war that is taking place. And they also learn that Steve Trevor's mission is to stop the Germans, and in particular, the evil scientist, a woman who's nicknamed Dr. Poison. Doesn't that sound like a great comic book villain name? Dr. Poison, from developing a really terrible form of mustard gas to be used on the front lines. So that's Steve's mission, is to stop that from happening. And when Diana learns that, she decides to travel with him, although her own mission is slightly different than his. Because Diana believes that the force behind this war, the underlying cause of it, is another god, the Greek god Ares, who is the god of war. And Diana believes that if she can find Ares and kill him, the war will end and humanity will experience long-lasting peace. They journey together and they proceed on their mission together, and the more time Diana spends off the island and in the company of human beings, the more she comes to see that human beings are capable of great good, and they are also capable of great evil. There is a scene near the end of the movie, and I'm giving you a spoiler alert now, so if you don't want to know how this turns out, and don't watch the clip and plug your ears. But there is a scene near the end of the movie that is absolutely pivotal, because Diana has, in fact, encountered the god Ares, and Ares places before Diana Dr. Poison, who has just unleashed the gas that she has developed on a village, eradicating the entire population of innocent civilians. Diana is facing a woman that has committed a heinous crime. And the question is, what will she do in the face of that? Diana says, it's not about deserve. It's about what you believe. And I believe in love. The entire life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are a testimony to us that for God, it's not about deserve. It's about love. The reality is, we all have, whether intentionally or not, leaked a little poison into our own lives or into the lives of others. And it's easy to look at the Dr. Poisons of the world and say, oh yeah, they deserve to be punished. They deserve to be struck down. But the reality is, we have all sinned. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then he tells us later, the wages of sin is death. Now, I remember my high school logic. If A is true and B is true, then C follows from them. If A is true, all have sinned. If B is true, the wages of sin are death. Then C is, guess what we all deserve? We all deserve to die. But with God, it's not about deserve. With God, it's about love. In the gospel lesson for today, we heard the story of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And the religious authorities were absolutely correct. She deserved to be stoned to death, according to the law. Of course, it's in Deuteronomy 22:22, if you want to look it up. It's not only the woman that deserved to be stoned to death, it was also the man who deserved to be stoned to death. And I've always been a little bit curious, like, what happened to him in this story? He ran. Maybe he was faster and he ran away. I don't know. But, you know, I digress a little bit. I'm not sure what happened to him. But clearly, she had sinned. And according to the law, she deserved death. But as they bring this woman before Jesus, he bends down and he writes something in the sand. And we don't know what it is that he wrote. And then he says, you know, let the one who is without sin throw the first stone. And one by one, they walk away. And Jesus says, is there no one here to condemn you? And she says, no. And he says, then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She deserved death. But with God in Christ Jesus, it is not about deserve. It is about love. It is about grace. It is about mercy. It is about forgiveness. Today we are going to celebrate communion together. And the reality is we don't deserve to come to the communion table either. The communion liturgy has changed. But when I was a little girl, when I was growing up, we used an older form of the communion service, and there was a part of it that was called the Prayer of Humble Access, and you can find it at page 30 in the hymnal because they've kept the old version of the service in there. And if you want to get your hymnal out, you can read it along with me. Says, we do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him and he in us. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. It's not about deserve. It's about love. It's about grace. It's about a gift. And for that, I give thanks to God. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks, Lord, that you do not give us what we deserve, but instead you give us the gift of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,